Hello, and welcome to Burn Court, the court of moral victories. We are bridging the gap between no recourse and legal recourse. We review and analyze listener-submitted disputes and decide a winner. Today, we're dropping a bonus episode, one that typically might be available only to subscribers. In our subscriber series, we plan to release a number of different formats, but the main feature will be using the Burn Court format to review and analyze contentious or controversial subjects. Today is Halloween, so we're going to discuss a really scary topic, AI, with a focus on the ever-increasingly shitty customer service provided by chatbots and voice bots. As many of you know, it is nearly impossible to get a person on the phone at some larger companies like Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and many others. We've all been there, calling tech support and pressing zero like a lab rat in a psychological study. Then the cheery AI voice says, "Please be patient. Someone will be with you in 48 hours. Nothing says customer service like an AI that wishes you a great day while ruining it. In this aptly timed episode, we explore one very frustrating component of the AI boom, and that is horrible fucking customer service. That's right. We're going to tell you exactly how we feel about it today. Your shitty chatbot and your bullshit cop-out of an excuse customer service is the focus today. I don't give a shit what fancy name companies call it. An interactive voice response, interactive virtual assistant, they all suck. And they often turn what could be a 3-minute phone call with a person into a 45-minute waiting game that gets more and more frustrating each time a machine tells you to be patient. How are we here? How did this become an acceptable norm? Is it an acceptable norm? Hell no. We, as consumers, need to push back against this. This is a deliberate cold shoulder from tech companies who are telling us in a sweet, voice-optimized tone to kindly fuck off. Well, here's one way that we might have gotten here. And this is just a few examples. But within the past week, the following announcements were made. Amazon is cutting 14,000 jobs. And for 2025, that could get as high as 30,000 jobs. Microsoft has launched several rounds of layoffs in 2025, laying off 6,000 people back in May and expecting more to come. UPS might be the winner here, announcing that it has cut 48,000 positions since the beginning of the year, more than double what it had originally planned. Meta laid off around 700, which doesn't seem too bad. General Motors is laying off thousands of people, with around 1,200 of them being at its electric vehicle factory in Detroit. Nestle is planning around 16,000 layoffs. Salesforce laying off about 4,000 people. ConocoPhillips, 3,000, Accenture, 11,000, Robert Bosch, about 13,000. Target is laying off about 1,000 people and eliminating another 800 open positions. Telecom giant Charter Communications is laying off 1,200 people. Danish pharmaceutical company Novo Nordisk is cutting 9,000 jobs. Paramount is cutting 2,000 jobs. And the list goes on and on. Tech companies collectively have laid off 128,000 employees so far this year. Last year, they laid off 153,000 positions. So that is a little preface. This episode's title is called "Your Call is Important to Us: Customer Service in the Age of Automation, Consumers versus Corporations." Here's a little facts recap, although I think we all know this story. Once upon a time, you could call a company and reach a person. What an amazing story. Today, that person has been replaced by layers of phone trees, chatbots, and AI agents that can do everything except care, or apparently help in most situations. Modern companies defend automation as necessary for scale. It's faster, cheaper, available 24/7, and supposedly good enough. But customers report rising frustration, longer resolution times, and a sense that human empathy has been optimized out. Surveys show over 80% of consumers prefer to speak with a human for complex issues, yet fewer than 20% can do so without repeated transfers or callbacks. The moral question, When does automation stop being efficiency and start being avoidance? On to our first lens, the legal analysis. I'll preface this legal section by saying that this isn't really a well-developed area of the law. The law has not caught up to the technology in this case. Legally, there's no constitutional right to speak with Brenda from billing, but there's deceptive automation. Claiming agents are available when none exist may violate FTC Section 5 and state UDAP statutes. Banking, healthcare, and telecom laws require human access for disputes. Vermont's proposed 2025 AI Disclosure Act would mandate notice when a quote-unquote person isn't one. So far, you can be ghosted legally. Here's a little bit more legal context. No law guarantees human interaction in customer service. However, consumer protection laws, like the FTC Act 5, require companies not to misrepresent service availability. And that might include saying that there's an agent available to speak when one isn't. Telecom and banking regulators mandate timely human response in certain sectors. For example, credit disputes, healthcare denials, etc. There's minimal AI and privacy laws right now. California and the European Union have some. Users can request human review of automated decisions, recognizing a right to human appeal. But again, that's very limited right now, and there's not a large-scale nationwide effort to make that happen. Although Peter Welch of Vermont is trying to form an AI regulatory agency. Vermont has robust data privacy commitments, but no specific AI service law yet. Proposed legislation from the 2025 session considers disclosure of automated interactions. Legally, firms can automate, but not deceive, and must ensure humans remain reachable for regulated claims. Though in the legal world, management can also always fall back on the principle that they owe their ultimate duty to the shareholders, and these types of costs are unavoidable. It is a consumer's duty, then, to show them better services required to retain our loyalty. Looking through the historical lens, customer service began in bazaars, eye contact, bargaining, and mutual respect. Then industrialization replaced the handshake with the help desk. The 1960s gave us call centers. The 1990s outsourced them. By 2020, AI turned consumer care into consumer containment. Every century trades warmth for efficiency until someone profits by being nice again. And we were all forewarned. A 1976 episode of Saturday Night Live warned us of this potential. The episode featured a recurring character, Ernestine, the telephone operator, played by Lily Tomlin, who said, "We don't care. We don't have to. We're the phone company." This rings truer today, and not just for the phone company, but for most companies. Now, let's look more closely at this. Customer service traces back to the ancient marketplace, where reputation was survival. Merchants thrived by face-to-face accountability. Then, in the Industrial Revolution, scale forced distance. Service departments emerged as buffer zones between producers and buyers. And I think we all remember the iconic scene from Office Space when the Bobs ask, "So, what would you say you do here?" To which the guy replies, "I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people." When Inatech is a high bar for customer service, we've got a real problem. In reality, I'd take 100 of these guys over a chatbot any day. I digress.
In the early 20th century, the telephone democratized support, birthing call centers in the 1960s.
Throughout the 1980s and 1990s, toll-free numbers, then offshore outsourcing, lowered costs but diluted personal connection. During the early 2000s, interactive voice response systems and scripted agents reduced complexity and humanity. In the 2020s, AI chatbots and voice models replaced entire tiers of staff. In each era, the pattern repeats. Technology saves money but erodes relationship capital. Historically, businesses that reintroduced the human touch, like Nordstrom, Zappos, Apple's in-store Genius Bar, built cult loyalty, proof that empathy still has ROI. Moving next to our literary lens, Franz Kafka, in The Trial, 1925, a man is trapped in a faceless bureaucracy that gives no answers and infinite procedures. Kafka foresaw the AI phone menu with endless prompts, no resolution, only alienation. Aldous Huxley, in The Brave New World from 1932, portrays comfort replacing compassion. Citizens lulled by efficiency, stripped of feeling with soma. Corporate automation is its economic twin, service without soul. David Foster Wallace, in his essay, A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again, captures the anxiety of forced cheer and scripted service. The same tone we now hear in synthetic voices assuring us they understand our frustration. Kazuo Ishiguro, in Clara and the Sun from 2021, humanizes AI, asking whether empathy can be programmed or only performed. Ishiguro reminds us that imitation is not equivalence. Ray Bradbury, in There Will Come Soft Rains, 1950, a fully automated house continues its routine long after humanity is gone. A chilling allegory for technology that outlives purpose. The literary verdict? When service becomes simulation, it hollows meaning. The more polite the voice, the lonelier the customer. Now on to philosophical. Immanuel Kant would say, humans must never be treated merely as means. Automation that dismisses genuine pleas violates dignity by reducing human frustration to an optional cost. John Stuart Mill, utilitarianism, policy must maximize happiness, not queue time misery. Efficiency that breeds frustration fails its calculus. Aristotle and Nicomachean Ethics, virtue lies in the mean or in the balance. Too little service breeds contempt, too much waste. The virtuous company balances efficiency with care. Confucius, right relationship sustains harmony. Ignoring a person in need, especially when one profits from them, breaks the social order. Under Hinduism, Dharma demands right action suited to role. A business's duty is service, not avoidance. And Taoism, the wise leader governs so that people feel scarcely governed. Forced automation is the opposite, visible control disguised as efficiency. Endless menus are the sound of imbalance. The philosophical synthesis. Technology must serve humanity, not replace it. When technology stops listening, it ceases to serve. True progress enhances connection, not distance. And now the religious lens. Christianity, the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches presence. Passing by human need because it's inconvenient is the opposite of ministry. Judaism has a principle. Decency precedes Torah. Courteous service is moral duty. Islam, excellence in conduct, the ihsan, demands kindness in all dealings. Indifference is injustice. Hinduism, service, or seva, is sacred when selfless. Scripted empathy without sincerity is illusion. Confucianism, a ruler or company, earns legitimacy by listening. Taoism, mechanical efficiency without compassion violates the natural balance. Religious ethics converge. Compassion cannot be automated. And now on to our social norms, where we have an expanded section today. Americans are exhausted by hold music and chatbots. I can personally testify to that. Studies show frustration costs firms' loyalty. 60% of consumers switch brands after two poor service experiences. Yet corporations persist, betting that inertia outweighs irritation. Social media call-out culture has become the new feedback mechanism. Public shame as substitute for private support. Here we are. This is just reinforcing this service that we're providing to the public here. A growing countertrend values human verified service as a premium feature, evidence that empathy itself has become a luxury product. Companies tout AI enhancements, while social media burns with "let me speak to a human" complaints. The irony, genuine customer service is now a luxury feature. And we've splashed in some science for this episode. Behavioral psychology would say synthetic empathy triggers stress, not comfort. Economics suggests that hidden cost of bad service equals billions in lost loyalty. Cognitive science, people anthropomorphize AI until it fails emotional timing, then rage spikes. Neuroscience, frustration releases cortisol. Repeated exposures lowers trust across all institutions. Cognitive psychology, humans detect inauthentic empathy within seconds. Synthetic politeness triggers mild stress responses rather than comfort. Behavioral economics, poor service imposes hidden costs, lost time, learned helplessness, and reduced trust in institutions. AI research, large language model systems can parse sentiment but not feel it. They simulate empathy through pattern recognition. Labor economics, automation cuts payroll but also eliminates tacit knowledge, those human fixers who prevent escalation. Sociology, studies show that depersonalized systems correlate with lower civic engagement. When even helplines feel indifferent, people disengage from collective life. Science concludes the cheapest system is rarely the most humanly efficient. In closing, automation was sold to the public as progress. Faster service, fewer costs, and efficiency without fatigue. But behind every corporate thank you for your patience is an unbilled cost. Millions of hours of human life lost to waiting, looping menus, and fruitless chatbot exchanges. When looking at corporate savings versus consumer loss, estimated corporate savings, according to McKinsey in 2024, automation and customer support saves U.S. companies roughly $80 billion annually, primarily by reducing labor and training costs. However, estimated consumer time cost, Gallup and Zendesk data in 2023 estimated Americans spend over 13 billion minutes per year. That's nearly 25,000 human lifetimes annually waiting on hold or repeating themselves to AI systems. The average call center costs per human agent is about $5 to $7 per interaction, while automated systems reduce that to under 50 cents per interaction. The efficiency gain for the corporation becomes a frustration tax on the public. This imbalance defines what Burncourt calls the empathy deficit index. Empathy deficit index is equal to corporate dollars saved over human hours lost. At current estimates, the ratio sits near 6,100 saved for every hour of collective consumer time wasted. The moral cost? Dignity traded for dividends. The utilitarian calculus flips. What maximizes profit minimizes human satisfaction. Nearly half abandon a purchase or service because of automated frustration, from Forrester in 2023. And the emotional impact, AI interactions trigger measurable increases in stress markers and heart rate variability. According to Stanford's 2021 Human Factors in AI study. In short, the machines are cheaper, but they're making people sicker. Burncourt summary, automation may have streamlined the transaction, but it hollowed out the relationship. Progress that erases empathy is regression disguised as efficiency. The moral judgment claim, technology should amplify understanding, not replace it. Until companies remember that every "your call is important to us" will sound like a lie told by a machine. And the Burncourt verdict? A company that saves a dollar by wasting an hour of your life has mistaken math for morality. Corporations claim efficiency, customers crave empathy. Both values matter, but efficiency without empathy is false economy. That is our show today. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like, subscribe, do all the things. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and of course on the website, where you can also come to vote on who you think should be the moral victor. Justice may be subjective, but the burn is absolute.